When the world is calling, getting there starts here. With over 55 nonstop destinations, including Montreal, and 20 nonstop flights a day to New York City, travel from Columbus is closer than you think. Start your trip at flycolumbus.com.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what lingered didn't feel angry or lost, but maybe it was attached to the only place it had ever felt safe.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, thank you so much for listening. If you have a real ghost story, we'd like to hear it. So call it in at 855-853-4802. You could write it down. That's easy, too. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com. Be a premium subscriber if you'd like and help support this show. You get no commercials, advanced episodes, access to the archive, and you can sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. I'm Carol Hughes. Kathy Gordon is with me today.
I sure am.
Hey, I saw this over the Christmas break. You know, you get news stories sent to your phone.
Yeah.
Like little updates. And so the headline of this story says, new photo, a baby Bigfoot claimed to be 99.9% believable. So, of course, I have to click on this. And I look
and this is MSN.com.
Yeah, I think that, I can't remember where this story originally came from. It could have come from a National Enquirer type of source and MSN picked it up. I don't know.
Yeah.
But because they kind of just repost stuff. For people listening, just Google that new photo of baby Bigfoot and you can see the picture we're talking about. So it's a, commentators have claimed that it is 99.9% believable. A photo posted by Stephanie Wood in a public Bigfoot Believers Facebook group has got a lot of people talking about if the photo is real or not. She cropped a close-up of the baby Bigfoot with a caption, "We know what you're thinking. It's Shaka from the Land of the Lost. Our gut reaction to this photo is that it's probably a short person in a costume, maybe a kid, right? But after analyzing it for a while, we're not so sure anymore. Could this be a baby Sasquatch or one of those hairy little people that pop up in reports every now and then, which are described as squatchlets?" That's a new one for me. I didn't know there was a thing as squatchlets. "We know the truth is truly stranger than fiction in more cases than not. You decide." So looking at the picture, Kathy, I sent it to you and anybody who just Google it right now and look at this picture, Google it later. Do you go, wow, that is believable, 99.9%? Or are you like, yeah, whatever. What do you think?
Okay, this is what I think. That is a really silly picture, and it's just not even kind of real.
That's what I think.
One of the common people that commented on this said the deer in the picture, and there's two deer that are looking at him, say that it makes it believable. Why? You guys, I'm pretty decent with Photoshop. I don't like to toot my own horn, but I'm pretty good at it, right? Carol, how many times have I put something in a picture?
Oh, yeah. And now with AI, you could do that super easy.
Right? And it looks like it belongs there. I'm telling you, it's so badly done.
And then somebody else said, this looks like an adolescent Sasquatch I seen in a dream. Makes it real. I seen it in a dream.
Well, I have to tell you, coming from the land of Sasquatch, I'm in Oregon, and people go out squatching. That's what they call hunting for them. This is just, I think it's bad. I think it's, I don't for one second believe this.
Well, and then the deer in the photo are pretty in focus. But he is, the little Sasquatchy guy is super not in focus.
Right. So that doesn't make any sense.
Because even sometimes when you zoom in, it kind of loses focus a little bit. But even in the original picture, it looks like a kid dressed up in something.
I know. The hands look
like in a mask.
Completely human, that they're out of, the hands look like they're out of the sleeve. of the costume.
And then the costume kind of creates a heart, like right down to his mouth. It's just a heart.
Yeah.
Where it's all furry, except there's this perfect unfurry heart on his face.
Yeah. I think it's absolutely.
And maybe, and you know what? Maybe Squatchlets have that perfect heart around their face because that one person's seen it in a dream. He would know.
That's right.
It's like, was the Squatchlet, did they have that heart around the face like that?
You know, here, like you can get Sasquatch stuff all over the place, right? You go to the grocery store, there's, you know, bumper stickers for Sasquatch. There's all this stuff. And a while back, I was at the airport and they have like magnets. And one of the magnets had a you know, Sasquatch on it. And it said, world champion hide and seek winner.
That's really funny.
And I died laughing. I was like, yeah, I mean, seriously, you got to admit he's really good at hide and seek.
Yeah. Well, and to me, it's like, I get you go out hunting them, but I mean that's a pretty incredible photo to get a Squatchlet.
Nobody can get a photo that's not blurry.
Exactly.
You know, and
baby Squatchlet just gets to run around all by itself. There's no mama Squatch.
Yeah, no mama Squatch. It just looks like a costume. Like literally the hair comes down like sleeves around the wrist.
Kathy, it is 99.9% believable. So I'm just telling you.
Because the deer were looking at him in the picture.
And that guy seen it in a dream.
That's true.
Let's go to a ghost story, which we know those are 100% believable every time. This says, I live in a small coastal town. I rent a unit behind a bigger house. It's like a converted garage. The main house belongs to an older couple. For the most part, we keep to ourselves. I hear them sometimes, though, TV, footsteps, the usual stuff through the walls, nothing out of the ordinary. About 3 years ago, the woman who owns the house started doing in-home care. Not full-time, but more short stays. Mostly kids with medical needs whose parents need a break or had appointments or emergencies. Sometimes it was just a night, sometimes a weekend. I didn't really interact with the kids. I'd see a wheelchair occasionally, sometimes medical vans parked out front. That was about it. I'm mentioning this because it explains why what happened didn't immediately feel wrong. There were already unfamiliar sounds in the house, beeping equipment, quiet crying, adults up late. The house had adjusted to that kind of rhythm. One of the kids stayed there fairly often over the course of a year. I never learned his name. I only saw him once, briefly, when I was getting mail. He was small for his age, quiet, and looked exhausted in that way sick kids sometimes do. I remember thinking he looked relieved to be sitting outside even for a minute. Then one winter, the vans stopped coming for a while. I didn't ask why, it wasn't my business, but the house felt empty. Not quieter, but emptier, like something had stepped out. That's when I started noticing things. It began with a sound, not voices. It was like movement, like someone pacing in socks. But it wasn't upstairs or downstairs. It felt like it was right between the walls. I assumed the couple had family visiting, or maybe they'd taken in another child and I just hadn't seen them yet. Then I started waking up around the same time every night, not from a noise. I would just wake up wide awake, no panic, no dream, just suddenly alert, like someone had turned a light on inside my head. Sometimes I'd lie there and listen. Sometimes I'd get up and get water. And that's when I started seeing small things that didn't add up. Cabinet doors slightly open, and I was sure they had been closed. My shoes moved from where I'd left them. Just enough to make me stop and think, did I do that? I told myself I was tired because stress does weird things. And one night I heard laughing, not loud, not right in my ear, but it sounded like it was coming from the main house. Just a short burst of laughter, like someone who was amused by something simple. I froze because it didn't sound like an adult and it definitely didn't sound like a TV. The laugh stopped as abruptly as it started. So the next morning, I saw the woman who owned the house out front, and I asked if she had family visiting, and she said no, and I mentioned the laugh, half joking, expecting her to say it was a neighbor or the TV or something, but she didn't laugh. She got quiet and said, "You heard that too?" That was the first time it really hit me that whatever was happening wasn't just in my head. She didn't explain. She just said they'd lost one of the kids they'd been caring for not long before, and things had felt strange since. She didn't say ghost. She didn't say spirit. She just said he liked it here. After that, I paid closer attention. I noticed that the sounds happened more often when the house was quiet, late nights or early mornings. I noticed that the motion lights outside would turn on when no one else was there, but only near the side of the house where the child's room had been. One night, I was sitting on my couch, scrolling through my phone when I felt pressure on the cushion beside me, not like someone sat down fully, more like when someone kneels on a mattress and shifts their weight. I didn't look right away. I don't know why. Part of me was scared that if I looked, it would stop being subtle, and I didn't want that. The pressure lifted after a few seconds. I did not sleep much that night. Week later, I found something that I didn't know I had brought in, a small plastic toy car. It was bright red, one of those cheap ones that comes in a pack. It was sitting on my kitchen counter right next to the sink, and I don't have kids. I don't babysit. No one had been in my unit that day. I brought it to the main house, asked if it belonged to anyone. The woman took it from me, stared at it for a moment, then she sat down and she said it was his. It was one of the few toys he did have. She asked where I found it, and when I told her, she started crying. After that, I stopped pretending nothing was happening. I didn't feel afraid, not really. What I felt was watched, but not in a threatening way, more like noticed, like someone was aware I existed. Sometimes things would go missing, show up days later. Sometimes I'd hear soft movement behind me when I was cooking. Once I woke up with a blanket pulled high around my shoulders. The couple eventually stopped doing in-home care. I don't know if it was related or not. They said it was time to slow down. Things have calmed down since. The laughter hasn't happened in a long time, but every once in a while, I still wake up suddenly in the night. I don't think whatever it was meant harm. I don't even know if it understands it was gone. I moved out last year, nothing at all has happened in the new place. Thanks for reading my story. Looking forward to hearing it on the show. You know, that's interesting. Because the haunting they just happen to be adjacent to it.
Yeah.
You know, and I wonder too, you know, if this child would have lived a very limited life, or at least at the end, it was a very limited life, if they needed respite care and would go to these people's house.
Yeah.
But they liked it there.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
You know, maybe to them, like, I liked it there and, you know, I'm going to, and then maybe they can visit at that house and go visit at mom and dad's house.
Yeah, why not?
I don't know how that works. I don't see how that, you know,
that
what's
seems
distance.
Seems like a definite possibility that you could move
right?
within, you know.
But it's interesting because that really had nothing to do with this person. They were just kind of getting an adjacency haunting.
Well, an adjacency you know? Haunting, but what we don't know is, I do not know how mobile this child or adolescent was. And were they sometimes like just in front, you know, of the window to watch outside and this person never even knew it? And so maybe this child watched them periodically and thought, you know, that looks like a nice person.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't know, you know, like sometimes we can see people in our neighborhoods or whatever, and we never really have a reason to know them or something, but we think, you know, they seem like a good person. They seem kind. They seem nice. And, you know, as a child, you might even be, you know, making up ideas in your head about who that was and what they do and, you know, all that kind of stuff and just find them interesting.
Well, and like you and I walk so much. We mm-hmm. walk our dogs all the time. So I don't know everybody in my neighborhood, but I can tell you everybody who lives on the walk. Like that couple, yeah. and they have two dogs there. That's a mm-hmm. retired couple, apparently, who lives there. And I kind of have mm-hmm. my own made-up stories about them. I don't know all of them. I do know a little girl couple blocks away, I saw her and her mom were taking a walk. And I said, so are you excited about Santa? And she said, yeah. And I'm like, did you ask Santa to bring you anything? And she said, yes, a pizza truck. I looked at her mom. I said, well, that was unexpected. I wasn't expecting a pizza truck. I don't know where you're going to be parking that. But, you know, so you find out this stuff. And so, like a child like that, you would live vicariously. And, you know, and looking out a window would make sense. And, you
know, watching the neighbors and what's going on in the world outside that maybe you just can't really get to.
Yeah.
And maybe making up stories about them and thinking about what they do and this and that. And, you know, you don't know. They might have asked the woman that lived in the house, who is that and what do they do? And, you know, they might have known more about you than you realize.
But I really love that this child had a place they could go for respite care where they felt safe and cared for and loved to the extent they wanted to be there after they passed. And, you know, maybe the child didn't understand it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I just find that so interesting.
I do too.
Let's go to this story.
This is Kent. I'm not going to tell you the state because I have to use some names in this story. Anyway, this isn't a traditional ghost story, really, in the sense that there's not technically a ghost. This is more about synchronicity and just weird coincidences. I thought maybe you guys would appreciate the story. So, the house where I grew up had a family before us, and they had a son named Jack. And Jack was a sergeant in the U.S. Army, and he fought and died in Korea, in the Korean War, specifically. This was particularly relevant to my family because there are three kids in my family, and we're all adopted from Korea. And so we'd grown up kind of hearing about this kid, or what my parents knew at least, which was, you know, he was a soldier and he fought and died in Korea. He fought for both of our countries. And we thought that was kind of cool. So my little brother comes along, the youngest of our family, and my parents decided to name him John. But they decide also to name him Jack, or call him Jack for short, basically. And I remember we kind of were joking, like, ooh, like the Jack in the house. And my parents were like, no, because Jack is short for John, which didn't make sense to us a lot as kids, obviously, because we're like, they're the same amount of letters, and they don't sound anything alike. But my mom cited John F. Kennedy as an example of Jack, who was really John. And so we kind of just accepted that and moved forward. Anyway, one day, the family from before, or the remaining members of the family, were in town and they decided to come by. And so they knocked on the door and said, hey, we're the family who lived here before you. And we were wondering if we could come in and kind of see what happened to the childhood home. And my dad is fascinated by, you know, the local history of, you know, homes, things like that. And so he was like, oh, please, you know, come in. And he wanted to hear about, you know, what each room was, what it looked like then. Just really, he found it all fascinating. And so, you know, we invite them in, and we are all introduced, you know, here are our kids, and they get to my brother, and they said, this is our son, Jack. And, you know, the other family said, oh, well, that's really cute. And they said, well, you know, but he's not like the Jack before. His real name is actually John. We call him Jack for short. And the other family said, well, that's pretty funny, actually, though, because our Jack was actually named John. We just called him Jack for short. My parents didn't know that, and so they thought, well, that's kind of bizarre. It's a funny coincidence, you know, but our son's name is John Lewis. And that's where the other family said, well, that's even more bizarre because our Jack was also a John Lewis. The only difference was the spelling. My brother uses the French spelling L-O-U-I-S and their Jack used the English spelling L-E-W-I-S. But still, those are two John Lewises who are called Jack in our family, or in our house. So at this point, my parents are like, okay, that's a pretty weird coincidence. But, you know, things happen, whatever. So we continue up to the upper level, and, you know, we're little kids at this point. It's like the early 2000s, and we're showing them our rooms. And my mom was always into themed rooms, so all of our rooms had a different theme. My brother's room's theme was airplanes, so there were airplanes all over his room. So we get to their room, and he says, you know, here's my room. And the family that's visiting says, well, that was also our Jack's room, which my parents had no idea about. And they went, well, that's pretty weird. And the other family said, and it's also weird because our Jack flew planes in Korea. In fact, his plane went down in Busan. And that's where he died. At this point, my parents, I think, were done hearing about the history of Jack, because, as it turns out, my little brother was actually born in Busan. So, that's my story about weird synchronicity. My little brother, I think, might be sensitive in some senses. He had night terrors as a kid. He hated sleeping in his room. He always felt like people were watching him. He's gone to our local haunted cemetery in our area, and he actually reported seeing things and feeling things and having like things happen to him while he was there. He's also claimed to see like creatures and things out when walking the dog at night. He's a real paranoid guy. He hates being in this house by himself because he's convinced there's things in it. My dad thinks he's nuts. I mean, maybe he's sensitive. Who knows? So, I'll let you guys listen to that story, I hope. I've been listening for like a couple years now. I love this show. It's a lot of fun. So, thanks, guys, and take care.
So, coincidence, yeah, but that's a lot of coincidence.
It really is, and I'm
and a bizarre amount of coincidence.
Yeah, I'm trying to get my head around it. Like, exactly what I think. Because you're right. It's kind
the John, of... Jack, John Lewis.
Lewis.
John Lewis, you know, different spelling. Airplanes, born where this guy died. It's like, the coincidences are just off the charts.
And then he does feel like his brother is sensitive to things, sees things and stuff. But it wouldn't explain just naming a child or whatever. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, because the coincidences are out of his hands.
Yeah,
you know,
those
mom
things.
Is like, you know, maybe the kid liked airplanes and mom's like, yeah, let's do airplanes in your room. But the naming and all of that stuff, that's not his doing. But it's like, is there something bigger at play that is like behind the scenes that we don't know?
I know. That's what I'm trying to wrap my head around. Like, is there some other reason?
Because the plane went down and the guy died where this kid was born.
Yeah.
Which is also very strange.
It's very strange.
Yeah, it's almost like there's some cosmic connection.
I don't think it's him coming back necessarily through this child, but
maybe could be.
It's very strange.
Very strange. I don't know how you explain all of that.
I don't either. I mean, he's right. These are crazy coincidences, I guess. But at some point you go, it feels beyond that.
Well, you know, they say there are no coincidences, but what's the reason for all of that? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so maybe it's not a coincidence. And what is it? Because it sure is
then
weird.
What is it? Yeah, but I just feel like this story is just pushing me down this road of saying it's him reborn somehow. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know if I feel like I can go that far. And yet, it's very strange.
Very, very strange.
The other thing I want to throw in is if you think it's just strange that people just knock on the door and say, I want to see your house, it's not. I've done
it. You have done it.
So it happens, people.
But the fact that those people would come to the door, knock on the house, and then have all those bizarre coincidences, yeah. I don't know. It's just like something bigger at play.
Yeah. You can just feel the discomfort in the room as they are going through this house and these things just keep piling up on each other.
And it's like, wait, are you just making all this shit up? Did you all do a deep dive on our family before you got here? Because this is weird.
Exactly.
Are you just telling us what we want to hear?
Yeah.
I don't know. You messing with us? Like looking around for the camera sort of thing.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Well, if you have a real ghost story, we'd love to hear it. You can call it in at 855-853-4802. Write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com and become a premium subscriber if you'd like. Access to the archive, no commercials, advanced episodes. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or go to patreon.com/realghoststories. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, we thank you so much for listening.